Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Hooray, we're back for another Not a Thing podcast.
The world continues to turn, we continue to record.
And this is our, this is the numerical 40th one this time, or am I doing that wrong? I don't remember.
I think it's production number 40.
You're
this
right.
This is 40.
You're right.
Judd Apatow's This Is 40. I call Paul Rudd. That makes you Leslie Mann.
It's a good call. It's a good call. Well, we're in no hurry to get to numerical 40, but
thanks. Who's in a rush to be 40? Jeez.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for continuing to tweet and Facebook and Google Plus and Tumblr and LinkedIn and whatever other social media service you're using.
Don't MySpace us. Don't do it.
It's good to have you on the line. Not a lot of stuff happened this week. It's been hot. I don't know about you, but it's been above 80 almost every day for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's been a little on the warm side.
Yeah.
Slows everything down.
Yeah, it's not too hot yet. I guess we have summer to wait for that. It's not bad for the end of April.
Yeah, some places it's still snowing, right?
That's what I hear, actually. Suckers.
Although if it started snowing and it was 80 degrees out, I would have some concerns.
Wow. That would be kind of wild.
I guess that would just be rain, but
well, it could be kind of, I guess that would be really weird if it were snowing in 80. That would be very strange. I'm sure there's a condition where that could happen, but I don't think I want to experience that.
There's some planet somewhere where rain is not water-based that happens, I'm sure.
Ooh. Yikes. Anyway, back here on Earth.
The planet that counts.
Yeah. There's been some good stuff. Kind of a favorite topic of ours has come up again in the news. There was a visualization that someone published of the self-driving car from Google, and we'll link it because it's hard to Brendan and I were discussing, it's kind of hard to talk about a picture on a podcast. Doesn't make
my juggling has gotten so good on this podcast. You're all missing out. I'm really good. I have chainsaws. I mean, they're not running. You'd hear those. I don't want to interrupt the podcast, but we got like 5 or 6 things in the air at a time.
Yeah, it can make for some compelling podcasting when we're talking about juggling and visualizations of things, but we'll do our best.
This, all right, I'm going to pick a card, Alan. Tell me what it is.
Oh my God, that's totally my card. How did you know? Totally my card. The self-driving car, they showed a picture which I guess is pieced together from its radar that, if you've ever seen the self-driving car, is rotating very fast. I mean, when you watch radar in movies, it's always this kind of lolling sweep. It takes like 2 or 3 seconds to go around. This thing is moving. I mean, it's maybe 5 or 6 rotations a second, and you can tell because the amount of data that it pulls in. How fast was it?
It was a gigabyte per second.
That's a lot of data. But it's pulling in real time, or as fast as it can real time, locations of things. And it's not just where other cars are. The visualization shows, like, it knows where the edges of the road are. You can see cone, or what look like traffic cones, because I guess they took this kind of slice of the road when there was construction happening, so you can see people in the road, you can see people on the sidewalk,
you can see other cars,
you can see the lanes. So it's a really wide scan. I mean, it looks like it was showing at least 3 lanes on either side, of not actual traffic, but 3 lanes of distance, say, on either side, and quite a few car lengths forward and backward as well. So that's pretty crazy. So yeah, okay, I'll maybe trust a robot car to navigate me, but I'm still kind of on board with your line of demarcation for when you can use the self-driving car and when it should cede control to humanity.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of driving fast at highway speeds and knowing what I'm, you know, being able to properly drive the car. And I think at that kind of mode, it feels more like piloting. Mm-hmm. You want to feel like you can, you know, pilot a vehicle. I mean, when you're in traffic, fine.
Take I like control. To think of it as captaining it. Captain my vehicle.
Very nice. Yeah, I've been playing Faster Than Light. It's just abbreviated FTL, and it's a game where you don't you play kind of in charge of a starship, and it goes around and goes to places, but you don't ever fly it anywhere. You just kind of tell it where to go and it jumps to that place, and then you have to do a lot of like the micromanaging of the different subsystems and whatever, like shunting power to shields when you're going to get hit by a weapon, and then throwing it to weapons to, you know, kind of force their shield down or whatever. And I forgot why I went on this tangent, but it's just something I'm playing right now and it's really fun. But, that's what it was. So yeah, I get your, like, the piloting aspect for sure. It's really, and captaining, you know, there's different levels of control that you want over machines, and I think it's fair to exert the appropriate level of control when it's appropriate.
Yes.
Kind of speaking of appropriate levels of control, there was an article that I saw. Actually, it was linked from a Kickstarter article that I'm, or a Kickstarter that I'm backing about an independent Instagram kind of thing. It's called Pressgram. So, but instead of all of the pictures being hosted and owned by Facebook, they can be wherever you choose, and they are suggesting putting them on a WordPress site, which you can install and put on your own site. Anyway, the writer of that software is doing a thing where he has kind of unsmartphoned his smartphone, so he removed a lot of the, or hid a lot of the basic apps. I mean, first of all, he pruned down his phone from like hundreds of apps to like less than 10, and then he took all the ones that he considered non-essential or otherwise kind of interrupting. Yeah, he kind of interrupting ones, and he put them into a category so he could get to them if he needed to, but otherwise they weren't going to notify him. They're not on there. And so he removed things like, he removed anything with a stream, so Twitter and Facebook, but he also removed email, which I thought was really wild. I mean, for a smartphone to not have email, I thought was a very weird kind of thing to do.
It's also kind of dumb. Data plans are expensive. Buy another phone.
Yeah.
But you want to look cool with your iPhone. So
right. You could just get like an iPod Touch, and then, you know, whenever you're in Wi-Fi range, then it matters. But otherwise, it's, you know, just kind of there.
That's what I have.
So what was interesting was that he kept the phone for phone use and for texting. And I'm not sure if he went into it in that article or if it was in the article that I read from the guy from Pressgram. But the rationale that he had was that if you email a lot of the time, you can't deal with in the moment if you're looking at it from a phone. Like if someone is emailing you about work, you may not be able to deal with it from your phone. You might have to have your laptop, in which case, why even see it until you're in front of a laptop? Because it will just be there to stress you out. And I thought that was an interesting point, but it also kind of pokes at how much information do you need at any one time. And
I need all the information.
I'm of that mind too. I mean, I don't mind having kind of an always on internet because, I'm a nerd. So
I have this thing where I like to be correct about things. Yeah. So having an unlimited resource to back me up and learn new things is kind of handy.
Right. And I think there is some merit in being able to put it down and unplug, but I don't feel like I need it pulled away from me before I can kind of deal with it. I feel like I still have enough of
that's because you're not an addict like this person clearly was.
Right. I think there's probably, a line that you can cross where it's too much, and it's likely that these people have crossed it. I feel like I'm reasonably healthy about not checking my phone or
it's the same line that hasn't been crossed that allows you to keep alcohol in your home and not just drink all the time.
So do you really think that there's kind of an addictive component to the internet?
Absolutely. Internet addiction is definitely a real thing.
Okay. Because I know some people that that can hold that, it's not a chemical addiction like alcohol can actually produce in your body, because the things that your body produces the way it was described was because you're not putting any kind of chemicals into your body, you're mm-hmm. not, you can't force an addiction because it's not anything that your body isn't already creating. Does that make sense?
I think of it less like alcoholism and more like marijuana abuse.
Okay.
Because marijuana is not chemically addictive. There's not nicotine or some other sure. chemical in it that makes your body physiologically respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely mentally addicting, which is the same thing that I think the internet does.
Okay. So I see how that is, because you are kind of, it may not be addicting from a like dependency kind of point of view, but it does at least, it at least causes a time sink and it will prevent you from doing kind of other things.
It's habit forming.
Right. Right. I think that's, there's gotta be a good way to express that, because I agree that it's not necessarily producing a chemical dependence, but it is kind of retraining kind of mental pathways to act in a specific way or look for mm-hmm. that kind of instant gratification method, even though it's not, even though it is kind of, naturally produced by your body, it's not something that would necessarily occur if it were just not there.
Well, there's probably some sort of endorphin response from, seeing things that are enjoyable
sure.
on the internet or learning new things.
Sorry, my mind went straight to porn. I'm sorry.
I was thinking of games or funny cat videos, although I don't really like cat videos, but other videos of a non-pornographic nature. Get your mind out of the gutter, Alan. Show some class, man. And besides, that didn't need to be said. We all assumed it. I think that's a whole different thing. I mean, there people say there is internet porn addiction, and mm-hmm. I think that is separate from internet addiction.
Sure, fair enough. Okay, we'll constrain.
They're not
this
mutually exclusive.
Yeah, we'll constrain this discussion to just internet addiction this time.
Yeah.
We need to get an expert on for internet porn addiction, I think.
Yeah, we need to invest in one of those voice modulators so no one knows who it is.
So we're both voice modulated? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, it's not going to work if you're talking and I've got a voice modulator. Everyone's going to know it's me. We're going to get a third party.
We'll just both use voice modulators. Then everything will be fine.
Oh, yeah. We should pretend we have two guests on. They never talk at the same time.
So, yeah. I think I think it's an interesting way of dealing with kind of poor time management.
It's cold turkey time management.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good that that's kind of available. It's a good way to see, like, you know, I can see doing that as a kind of mental sabbatical, almost, like, just every once in a while. Well, or you could just go on vacation, right?
Yeah. The other thing about that, though, is if you finish towards the end of the article, he says that he didn't stop doing any of those things. He just did them on his laptop.
Right. Right.
So he definitely is addicted.
Well, there is something to be said.
Or wants to function in society.
Yeah. There is something to be said, though, about... I think it's actually physiologically damaging to be looking at a screen that's small and dealing with type that's kind of small and having that fine motor control in such a small space. I mean, even with a tablet, I just think, you know, exposing yourself to kind of a single focal length for long periods of time is probably bad.
Yeah.
I'm saying this right after I talked about playing a video game. So I realize there is some irony in this, but yeah.
There's hypocrisy on the internet? What?
Not a thing. Not a thing.
It's a thing. I'm saying it should be. It is.
Yeah. So, kids out there, don't use your smartphones too much. Although, if you're using it to listen to the podcast, please continue to listen to the podcast.
Don't stop doing that. Yeah, if you want to try this experiment that this guy did, leave your podcast app so you can keep listening to us.
This news article is brought to you by Not a Think Podcast.
Visit stamps.com, promo code WTF.
Yeah, and if there are any sponsors that would like to sponsor this show, now that we're going to be on, you know, these unsmartphones as the only app, that market.
That's market share right there.
Yeah, right there. Absolutely. Go to notathingpodcast.com. Check us out. There was a good article this week. Apparently, someone interviewed Jerry Seinfeld about this, which I thought was great, because I'm sure he had a whole, you know, 5 minutes about it.
Well, he has a web series about it.
With a funky bass line, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully. But yeah, it was a web series about coffee meetings and how it's like the perfect way to kind of get a meeting done between people, because they kind of go over in the article a few different kind of styles of meeting with people. And you like when you the traditional kind of conference room meeting, everyone's sitting down, you're already kind of lethargic just based on how it's set up. If it's the kind of meeting where you're bringing computers in, everyone has their laptop open and no one is looking at anybody else. Everyone's just kind of looking at a screen, which is, you know, really isolating. So even though you're amongst a bunch of people, you're really kind of not in front of everybody. So it kind of held up the coffee meeting as perfect because it's short. It only lasts as long as a coffee takes. It gives you, which I thought was great. This was a great point in the article. It gives you something to do with one of your hands, which totally reminded me of that. You know, when you're at a party, you want to have, you know, the red cup like as soon as possible. So you have something to do with your hands. So you're not.
Yeah. It's called drinking beer. That's what you should be doing as soon as possible.
So, and you know, drinking beer at work, might be considered career limiting, but drinking coffee is okay.
It depends on where you work, Alan.
It does.
Some companies have very lax policies.
For me, it's generally only on Thirsty Thursdays that I can get away with that. But the other thing is that coffee is a, you know, as a stimulant, kind of gets you talking more. You naturally will wake up and have more things to say. So I thought that was just a nice nice little sum up of meetings. I like to have I like to have not only have coffee at work, but I actually make the coffee at work because we switched at work. We used to have kind of a, you know, the old school drip pot machine, but I found that I was the only person in an office of like 80 people that would make coffee. so it was kind of a bummer because I was making coffee constantly. So at one point they switched over to K-Cups, the Keurig machines, mm-hmm. which some people like those things. I don't know any of these people. I mean, the convenience, sure. There's no way to get like a single cup of coffee without thinking about it that quickly. But I like to taste coffee, so I actually have a full Chemex setup, and I do the pour over for three or four people, depending on how much coffee I want to drink. But yeah, I'll do the coffee fresh there, and that makes my coffee break actually take as long as a coffee break takes, which is about 15 minutes, which is nice. Instead of just the run and get a drink and then come back, so it's nice to, you know, take that time and again, because it's like three or four people will get coffee. We can like talk over it and stuff. It's good. Do you have coffee at work? Or do you drink coffee at work?
Yes, I have started drinking coffee. Our company runs on coffee and other energy drinks. so much so that we actually have a fully automated Starbucks machine.
Oh, you have like the espresso, like, you know, make lattes kind of machine?
No. It just does coffee.
Oh, okay. Coffee,
not chocolate.
Okay.
Got like a dark roast and a lighter roast, and it, yeah.
Oh, well, you can at least pick your beans. That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah,
with
it grinds the beans and then, you know, makes the coffee. Okay.
Well, that's nice. If it can grind the beans fresh, then that's good. I mean, the K-Cups, who knows how long that coffee's been around, unfortunately.
Right. No, this, well, we go through so many bags a day that, you know, it's always fresh at least once a day.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I once worked at a place that had the full super automatic machine. It would grind the beans, but it would also steam milk for you if you wanted it to. And it would make, you know, the espresso drink. So it would make a cappuccino or a latte and do the foam and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how to justify a machine like that for a team, but I have to look into it. That would be good. I'm kind of I like espresso, but I don't want to invest in buying a machine to do that, especially a machine that would have to hold up versus, you know, 100-person office. I think that would be
be rough.
Yeah. We just need an in-house barista, right?
I think that would be great.
Yeah, that should be a thing. I think it is at some companies, but I don't work for that company yet. So someone get this going.
Yeah, we just have the automated coffee machine, and then they have a coffee truck that comes, like a separate coffee truck.
Oh, wow.
They can make you whatever.
But oh, that one, very nice.
The automated machine is free. So I drink that one.
Yeah, it's there's a coffee place near me that I really like that they do, they pair the coffee with the thing that it tastes like, because they sometimes write that on bags of coffee. It's like, it tastes floral or berry or chocolate or whatever. They actually will give you a small, like half a shot glass worth of berries or caramels or whatever with the coffee, so you can actually taste the pairing, and that's phenomenal. That's really cool. Only because it lets you notice those tastes. I mean, I don't think it's to the way some people obsess over wine. I'm starting to obsess over coffee, so it's nice to do that. Although I've still never had the civet coffee. Have you heard of that?
No.
So a civet is in the cat kind of family, although it looks nothing like a cat. It looks like a more like a kind of mongoose kind of thing. Anyway, it's a I want to say it's Indonesian, but I'm not 100% sure. But the civet eats coffee beans still on the tree. And this is the one where some poor guy follows the civet cat around after it's eaten the whole mess of the beans. I think you know where this is going.
I think I do.
And picks up the droppings from the civet, and they wash them, like, a hell of a lot of times. And supposedly, the enzymes in the digestive enzymes impart a flavor onto the coffee. So after it's been cleaned and dried and roasted and everything,
it still tastes like shit.
I can't imagine that it would taste good. Like, this is the thing that they sell for, like, I want to say it's like as much as $100 a pound.
That just shows the idiocy of people.
That's my thought too.
There's no.
So if
you're
you've
too
ever
bored
had...
with life if you're drinking that coffee.
you have so much money that you don't know what to do with it, and you're spending it on coffee.
You should be writing me checks.
Writing us checks, the podcast checks.
Yes.
Yes.
Sponsor us. Wait, maybe we can get a hold of the civet company.
Yeah. That's our... We'll change the logo to like a cat and a coffee cup. But maybe not right next to each... I don't know. Anyway. if anybody's had civet coffee, let us know. Because I'd like to know what it's like. And also, I'd like
and
to
also,
be
also, if anyone who's listening has had civet coffee, I'm sorry, I called you an idiot.
We'd like to be your friend.
but also, I'm not sorry. You brought this upon yourself.
Maybe we can have a meeting about it. Just like one meeting over coffee. Maybe we would pick the coffee, though. Maybe not you guys. Anyway. what other stuff was happening this week? Oh, Spaceship Two, which is the thing that I think is partially backed by Virgin. It's backed by a bunch of people, but...
Virgin Galactic.
Yes. It's a ship. It's a spaceship. So, you know we'd like it.
Yes.
It's a spaceship that I guess they've tested quite a few times where it is attached to one plane which can take off and land, and it's kind of tethered to it. And then they've just been releasing it at, you know, different altitudes to test its resilience and having it glide and land on its own power. So it doesn't take off ballistically like a, you know, the space shuttle did or a Saturn V or anything like that. It takes off kind of connected to another plane, and then it's disconnected from that plane, which goes and lands as normal. But then it has a rocket booster which fires. And it did its first rocket powered flight and got above it broke the sound barrier. I want to say it was Friday or Thursday. Anyway, it's in the article, but I think it's really cool.
Yes, space flight should be a thing.
The shot of it is wild because it's, I guess in the picture they lined it up so it looks horizontal. I don't think it flew horizontal. I would hope they angled it up just a little bit, so it could get altitude. But it looks crazy because the flame that's shooting out of the back of
it's a big flame.
It looks comically big, doesn't it? It looks.
It's like when people mess with a lighter.
Yeah,
it has that extra long flame. It kind of looks like that.
I mean, it looked kind of like. It's bad. It's really bad because the first thing I thought when I saw it was it looks like the jet flame on the show Thunderbirds, the one with the little puppets. Am I? Is this a reference going too far back for people?
What's that? What?
Damn it!
Team America.
Similar to Team America. So yeah. Anyway, I'm just gonna skip over that part.
Maybe I know what you're... I'm just messing with you. I know what
that is. Anyway, yeah, because the flame is flying out the back, and it's gotten enough kind of in the current that it's kind of like the licks of flame are coming up out of it, so it doesn't look like a jet. It looks more like a... You're right. It's like a flamethrower kind of flame out of a, you know...
Space flamethrower. Yes.
This sounds like a good thing.
I would say write your congressman, but clearly the government doesn't give a crap about space exploration anymore.
Oh,
so,
oh, it's such a bummer.
Go Virgin.
Yeah. I think the commercialization of spaceflight is kind of a bummer because I think it may not do as much cool stuff as kind of publicly funded spaceflight. But
cool stuff or good.
Yeah. But I'm still on board for spaceflight as soon as that price tag comes down a little bit. It's a little high last time I heard. I don't know. I want to say it was still in the kind of six-figure range to do it. But
well, once we start raking in that podcast money, we're going to space.
Right, that's Civit Cat money? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Civit Cat and spaceships.
But yeah, check out the Spaceship 2 thing. Is that connected to Elon Musk at all? Or is he just connected with Spaceship 1?
I don't know.
Because I know Spaceship 1 is... That's the one that...
I think Virgin Galactic is separate from SpaceX.
Okay. You might be right. You're probably right. We'll have to check on this. But yeah.
I feel like there would be more branding. Because if you look at the rocket... Pretty clearly a Virgin vessel.
There's a lot of Virgin branding on the bottom of that rocket.
It's like the guy who did the Red Bull jump. It's like, clearly he works for Red Bull.
Right, the entire bottom of it, the heat shield piece, I guess, yeah. is all just the Virgin logo. But instead of being the... It's kind of the Virgin logo with like a space background, which makes sense.
Yeah, so they can be the first company to bring advertising to aliens.
So I guess you're right. It must be separate because it's Richard Branson doing Spaceship 2. So Elon Musk can do Spaceship X or SpaceX. So you have that competing kind of richish guy kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of Tony Stark versus Bruce Wayne, maybe. I don't know. They can draw straws for whoever is which. I mean,
well, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk is Tony Stark. Richard Branson's just like Richard Branson. He is his own superhero. That dude's done some amazing stuff.
It's true. You're right. So speaking of Tony Stark, I think Iron Man 3 is going to have to be a thing this weekend.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think I'm going opening night.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm not sure if I'll catch Friday night, but definitely.
No, I mean Thursday night.
Very nice. Yeah. So we'll have that to talk about next week, I'm sure. What else? Oh, Free Comic Book Day is this Saturday.
It is, and I forgot, and I'm working, and
oh,
I'm
no.
upset.
Okay. I haven't looked to see what's out, but I always find something.
Well, the shops up here are open till like 9 at night, but I'm pretty sure by the time I get off work at 5, it's all going to be cleaned out.
They usually have some promos that are still around. At least the shops near me they'll also do deals on other stuff in the store, because why not? So I'll probably go through and pick up some stuff. I know, what's a good book that I wanted to pick up? Stumptown by Oni Press.
Yes.
So I picked up their first hardcover not too long ago. Actually, it was quite a while ago, now that I think about it. And I really liked it. It's written by Greg Rucka, who also did the comic book for Whiteout, which was kind of an unfortunate movie, but a good comic book. But he has a second volume of Stumptown. And that's, I think it may just be single issues. I'm not sure if the collected one is out yet, but I'm probably going to check that out. But yeah, support your local comic book store. Check some stuff out.
Get some free comics.
Yeah, why not? Why not? There are probably going to be some tie-ins with Iron Man and Thor, seeing as their movie's coming out this year. I suspect that.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Still pretty excited for Thor, even after that little trailer.
No, it's that little trailer's what made me excited.
Oh, I have another trailer to talk about, but let me get the last topic out first. a good friend of the podcast, Jürgen Holst out there in Norway, actually found this article for me and tweeted it about Game Development Tycoon, which is kind of in the style of Railroad Tycoon and Roller Coaster Tycoon. So it's a really heavy simulation of really, you know, keeping as many of the parts, the moving parts, real. So this one was based around developing a game and kind of the business aspects of it and production and all that kind of stuff. But I thought what was really interesting was that the creators of the game, as an experiment, released the game both for sale and then also to torrent websites and other places, just as a let's see what happens. And then there is some code, kind of phone home code, in the game. And they, I don't know if they, if it was probably put in just for this purpose, but they went and tracked how often it was pirated versus when it was bought to get stats, which I thought was interesting. But what they also did was the version that they leaked to torrent sites had a kind of like they put in essentially a bug in the game that says, oh no, your game that you make in the game was pirated and you're starting to lose money. And what they noticed was in the forum for the game, people would put up things like, oh, I hate this. Why does this happen? Why do pirates exist? And what's interesting is
how can I develop DRM?
Right. The only people that saw that were people who pirated the game.
Yeah, if you buy the game, you play it as normal. But right. If you pirate it, you get pirated.
Yeah. So it was really funny as a way of holding up kind of a mirror to software and piracy of games. But I think it also kind of speaks to you know, how you contain your intellectual property and how you make something kind of last or make it work. And it really showed, I mean, like they're in the article, it's the game developers that wrote the article, so it was really honest about how they wanted to deal with piracy and how they wanted to make it work. I mean, the normal kind of the modus operandi for big companies is to incorporate some kind of crazy DRM or internet only, always on kind of things to rein that in. And that's, I mean, you can see that in the new SimCity game, the Diablo 3, supposedly both the PS4 and the new Xbox are going to have some kind of, you know, internet
online requirement, which yeah. is terrible. Not right. a thing.
I'm wholly against that. But I mean, what was really interesting was that even after seeing how it was pirated and everything, the game developer still is in favor of DRM less games and just having it so when you buy something, it's yours. What a concept.
Well, especially with this game in particular, it's $8.
Right.
And it was in the, they show a graph here where it was over 3,000 people pirated it and only 214 people bought it.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
For an $8 game. $8 is not that much. It's not a $60, you know, EA release.
Right. Right.
Because also, fuck EA. They suck. And Activision.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
the games, but oh, they're jerks.
Right. Right. So, are you going to play the new Call of Duty?
I don't know. Maybe.
I haven't seen a trailer for it, but I did see, you know, it's called like Call of Duty Ghosts, it looks like. I didn't. Mm-hmm. It's made by Infinity Ward. I liked World at War, so I kind of like the direction that is going to go.
But, I thought World at War was Treyarch.
You are totally right, and Infinity Ward was gutted, now that I think about it.
That is why I said, fuck Activision.
Yeah, so maybe not the best game. Wow, my memory about that's not as great.
Yeah,
they're probably counting on that.
On that, they almost got you.
That yearly release cycle for games, so, you know, or whatever it is. Some ridiculous breakneck pace, which is probably destroying the hearts and souls of the game developers that work at those companies. But yeah, Game Developer Tycoon and FTL, both DRM-free games if you buy them from the right people. Good stuff. Support DRM-free, just like this podcast.
Yes. Feel free to pirate this podcast. Spread it as much as you can.
Yeah. We'd love for it to be out there in the world. So I just want to catch up on one last thing. So did you see the trailer for Pacific Rim?
Is there a new one?
There is a new one.
I have not seen it.
It is ridiculous.
I kind of don't want to see it.
So the movie,
the trailer? Not the movie. Oh, okay. I really want to see the movie.
Yeah. No, I really want to see it too. So I think it does. It may give away. Well, it definitely gives away kind of a set piece that's in the film. So I can see not wanting to see it. But oh my gosh, that's going to be a ridiculous movie.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good movie year for kind of those kind of movies.
Yes, nerd movies.
Hooray. Okay. Well, that's enough for me this week. I think we can wrap this one up. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll catch you next week. I'm hoping to get a guest on the show. I'm going to put it out now and say that I hope we get the guest on the show, which means that I'll have to try extra hard to make that guest happen. So I'm going to say that. That'll be my thing for this coming week.
And my thing will be to show up next week.
Right on. Talk to you next week, Brendan.
See ya.